after all this time and after all my podcasts, there is still confusion about S&OP. I guess I need to clear up some myths. Let's get to it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Another fabulous episode of IBF On Demand. I'm your S&OP champion and myth buster host, Eric Wilson. You can find me at eric@ibf.org. That's eric@ibf.org. Thanks for the follows and subscribes. Find me on LinkedIn, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. You already understand the drill when it comes to that. You just need to actually do it and actually start sharing these. Kind of hit this level. I'd love to see this grow. We're almost at the 10,000 mark, and I'd love to hit that threshold. But I'm going to need your help because I did everything I could on my own. We couldn't have got here without a sponsor, and we have a sponsor, Arkiva. Been around the entire time. Great sponsor, driving business transformation by solving what others cannot. Thank you, Arkiva, for being part of close to 100 podcasts. We're getting close to that magical number. And thank you guys for helping support them. If you haven't checked them out, please, as well. Today, we're actually going to revisit a topic, S&OP not being dead. And we're going to actually dispel some myths. S&OP has actually been one of my favorite topics lately. I've been actually focused on it for the past few years. We're doing a lot of research on it, talking to a lot of organizations, going in and working with a lot of organizations on their S&OP processes. We've done multiple assessments. We've actually created our online assessment on IBF.org as well. And all that has kind of culminated actually in an upcoming book. So unless you're watching this in the future, which you may be, then it's going to be an already released book. But if you're watching this now, stay tuned because in June, we're going to have a new book, Practical Guide for Sales and Operations Planning, S&OP and IBP. It's coming out. So please check that out. It's a comprehensive book, end to end, people, process, technology, KPIs, data, analytics, everything you need to know from your journey on S&OP, no matter where you are in your maturity, from an emerging to essential to next level to vanguard, this is a comprehensive book. It's a practical guide to sales and operations planning. And it's not just me saying this. It's actually a contributions by multiple authors. And I said, I've been working multiple years working with people and also compiled what other people are saying about S&OP. And we put this into one book for you. So check that out. That's coming out in June. If you're at the conference in Chicago, that's where it's going to be released. If you're not going to miss the, if you're going to miss the global S&OP conference in June, sorry. But if you're going to miss it, you can find it on Amazon, IBF.org, wherever, you know, there as well. But it's a great book. So just follow me on LinkedIn. It's another reason to follow me on LinkedIn because I'm going to be sharing these updates as we get closer. I'm going to share more and more updates. Or sign up at IBF.org. Make sure you're on their email list. You're going to get blasts there about it as well. So you're going to hear about it. All you got to do is buy it when it comes out, please. That's what I'm asking. As I said, I'm kind of revisiting a prior topic. Is S&OP dead? It was actually the fifth episode I did way back when, in the midst of COVID, when we started this process of podcast. The fifth episode I did, it was actually still one of the most watched episodes I've done, is Was S&OP Dead? Just mainly because it was clickbait title. But it was a lot of great information explaining what we were seeing at the time. So this is 2 or 3 years ago, and then why it was still viable. Well, the answer still is obviously no. And since we recorded that 2 or 3 years ago, you know, 80, 90 podcasts later, we continue to not only see the hype, but we see a renewal and even more interest in S&OP than what we did before. A lot of it may be spurred because of COVID, but we're actually seeing more interest and more people clamoring for information about sales and operations planning now than what we actually did when we originally recorded Is S&OP Dead back in 2020. historically, prior to COVID, when you looked at numbers, IBF does a lot of research, and when you looked at organizations that were starting or saying they were just beginning a new S&OP, IBP, I don't care what we call it, process, the number typically is about 11 or 12% of companies that were started. Now, since COVID or recently, that number has typically been as great as 20% or more of organizations that are now starting fresh, revitalizing whatever an S&OP, IBP type process. So we're seeing more and more companies begin or starting to see the benefits of S&OP. Maybe it's because of these podcasts, I don't know. But we're seeing companies jump on board and say, yeah, we understand we need to have something in place. Our June Global S&OP Conference, Best Practice Conference, as I said, we're going to be in Chicago in June. We're seeing that conference continue to grow year over year. We're seeing more and more people actively participate. And that growth is not just demand planners coming from IBF. No, we're seeing, like our base, we're seeing finance people, more and more finance people. We're seeing more and more supply people. We're seeing marketing people. I've seen HR show up, human resources being showing up to a sales and operations planning conference. We're seeing more and more executives starting to be part of the conferences themselves to understand the process a little bit better. And we are seeing a lot more with specific S&OP titles and roles that they have. S&OP and a lot of organizations, especially the mature ones, have S&OP as standalone functions now that are reporting directly to the business, whoever owns the P&L or the business unit or executives. We're seeing these roles not only exist, but now they're coming out to the conferences. They're participating in IBF events now as well. And they're going to be buying my book in June. So there's a lot of people who understand the benefits of it. And there's a lot of people starting it. So it makes you wonder why there's still a lot of myths around sales and operations planning. So what I wanted to do today is just hit some of the main myths. And there's a lot more that I could go into. I'm not going to go into the details because I probably have podcasts that already deal with those details. So I wanted to give you some new information. So I'm going to dispel some of the big myths that I've heard recently or in the past that may still exist, and we want to talk about it. So the number one said, despite all the things that I just told you, I still hear the number one myth is, you know, despite this evidence, S&OP, it's just not worth it. There's still a feeling for some executives. There's still a feeling for some people who don't truly understand the breadth and the benefits of S&OP that they feel S&OP, maybe there's not that return on the investment. Well, guess what? I get it. And I can actually make an argument for that. IBF did a survey of over 600 companies. This was pre-COVID, but it's one of the surveys I hear people recite back to me sometimes. And I've actually utilized it in my literature. And it was the one that I talked about first in that episode 5, is S&OP dead? So I'm going to revisit that research. The survey said it was over 600 companies. And they measured things like days of supply and forecast accuracy and service and things of that sort. And measuring the 600 companies and measuring, it's like days of inventory. Companies that self-reported they had sales and operations planning, 471 of those, versus all the companies combined, the actual DOI, the days of inventory for the companies with S&OP was actually worse, 2 days worse. 39 days compared to all companies combined was 37 days. So on the surface, when you look at that, you would say, hey, you actually do worse when you have S&OP. I'm not only not seeing a benefit, it's actually worse with S&OP, according to the stats. The argument always comes back, well, forecast accuracy is better, we're getting better signal, or what's service? We may not have less inventory, but we have the right inventory. And therefore, service is naturally going to be better. Well, actually, no. When you measure like back orders as a percentage of sales or on time in full or different types of service metrics, actually no change when you look at the 471 compared to the over 600 that was in the study. So statistically, I guess you could say there's compelling evidence against S&OP showing benefits. The thing is though, that there is true benefits there. I'm not going to go through all the benefits there. Matter of fact, if you can just go back a month or so, I think it was about a month ago, my podcast was on the top 10 benefits of S&OP. So I'm not going to rehash those 10. But give you a very high-level overview of that, guess what? There is benefits there. And if you went down to the bottom line, it's about a 2 to 3% improvement on your profits to an organization. That's real money for an organization for the mature S&OP processes out there. But let's deal with the evidence that we have on hand. That we did a research and we showed no improvement on days of inventory or less improvement on days of inventory, no improvement on service. Let's deal with that. Unpacking that, we see something when you look at companies starting, companies, you know, really getting, you know, as far as any type of benefits, mature organizations, we see, we measure that as well. And looking at that, we've already looked at, there's about 20% of the companies that are just starting a new process. So 20% of the companies out there are really at that stage where you're not realistically going to see a lot of benefits. A matter of fact, you may be seeing inventories in flux as you right size them. You may be seeing specific benefits in one area, but that hasn't translated yet to other areas. So 20% of the organizations, you're not seeing the benefits of it yet, but you're just getting started in the process. There's another 20% of the companies out there that, guess what? They're doing it wrong. Just because a company says they're doing S&OP, there's a lot of companies out there that just put a label on it and are doing it flat wrong. I've went into companies before and they're just checked the box to go through the motions and they're getting zero results from it. And they're actually getting worse results because the process is creating more complications and inefficiencies. And there's 20% of the companies out there, I would say, you're not going to get, matter of fact, you're doing worse because you're doing it wrong. It happens. Not everyone is doing things well. Some people are just purely, I'm going to balance supply and demand, and they try to do that through a complicated process and do it worse. So guess what? 20% are just starting. 20% are probably not seeing the results. And 20% then are probably the essential level, just beginning to start seeing incremental results, but they haven't seen the full benefit of it yet. So when you look at that, two-thirds of the companies out there are not seeing any or very minimal results on it out there. Of all the companies that exist that are doing something, anything, or nothing, two-thirds of you aren't seeing results. It's not just me saying it. That statistic's been thrown around by other consulting companies and other large organizations that want to talk about maturity of S&OP. They throw out that statistic as well. The two-thirds of companies aren't seeing the benefits of S&OP or, you know, only one-third. There's all kinds of statistics about that two-thirds that are failing at S&OP, two-thirds are not successful, two-thirds aren't seeing the benefits. What we did see, though, is when you look at that 20% being emerging, yes, there's little to no benefits of the companies that are just starting. The 30% that are essential, we start to see some but minimal benefits. I'll be honest. Where the benefits kick in is if you're above average. The over 50% of the organizations out there, if you measure it the right way, which is the way IBF measures it, if you measure it the right way, over 50%, you start seeing benefits. And those benefits are substantial. It's an exponential growth when you come to see these benefits. The benefits really become substantial when you get to that next level and above. So the answer to the myth is it worth it? The answer is a resounding yes. For mature S&OP processes, the answer is a definitive yes. So is the answer of yes, should I start one? I hope so, because if you're happy being below average, then maybe not. If you're happy being below average, maybe you shouldn't start an S&OP process. But guess what? If you're happy being below average, you're not going to get results no matter what you're doing inside your organization. You're always going to have below average results and not see the benefits of anything you're doing. But if you strive to be better, starting an S&OP process now, maturing over the next year, year and a half, 2 years, developing a mature S&OP process is absolutely worth it. So dispel myth number one, S&OP does have value and is worth it if you are happy being above average. Myth number two, and I just recently kind of heard this one. It was actually in New Orleans a week or so ago. I actually heard this one from someone. Myth number two is S&OP can be automated. I mean, if you have a demand, you have a supply, and I'm looking to be able to just balance those, I can automate and do it better. Well, guess what? This comes from the misconception that S&OP is just a series of tasks. So I think you could look at this myth as either one way. One way is, you know, we can automate most of S&OP, or the second myth is S&OP is just a series of tasks. Because if you just create a forecast, then guess what? Yes, I can automate an output of a forecast. If you're just balancing that forecast to constraints and figuring out how to manage that output the best, then guess what? Yeah, I guarantee a system probably can do it quicker, more efficient, and maybe even a little more precise than I can. So there is technology out there that can generate a signal and can perform tasks of a forecast output and a supply response. Absolutely. I've always been a little bit confused, and it's short-sighted to think that S&OP is just about balancing supply and demand. I mean, yes, that's what it was back in the 1980s and 90s, and it really originated, but it never was intended to just be about that. It has grown, and if you haven't grown with it, then you haven't grown. S&OP is really, it's always intention has been about more, and it is about more than balancing supply and demand. That is a generic response for what the purpose and objective of S&OP is. And balancing supply and demand is one outcome of an S&OP process. It's by no means the objective. S&OP is a business process to align all functional areas around a unified set of assumptions for coordinated decision making. It's not just supply chain. It's not just forecasting, demand planning process. It's a business process. I don't know how many times I've really focused on that and stressed the importance of that. It's not just demand planning and supply planning, but marketing plans, logistic plans, product plans, financial plans, resource plans, and that includes people sometimes too. There's multiple plans inside of an organization. And it's not just trying to find a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's coordinating those plans to a unified set of assumptions. It's more about really the output itself. S&OP is about strategies. It's about brand strategies. It's about channel strategies. It's about fulfillment strategies. And it's about the business strategy. If you look at S&OP about strategies, guess what? You can't automate a strategy. You can provide resources to enable inputs into a strategy by all means. Utilize that. Make things more efficient. Make things better. But the strategy, that is a people, process, and technology, and an S&OP process is what it is. It's all about the strategy. So it's more than the balancing supply and demand. It's more than being automated. It's really about strategies. It's really about balancing multiple aspects of the organization. Myth number three. Whew, this sounds too complicated. That's a mammoth process you're talking about. There's no way any organization can do that, which brings me to myth number three. That would take up way too much time. That's just more meetings. I mean, think about it. You got product reviews, demand reviews, supply reviews, pre-S&OP reviews, executive reviews, plus all the meetings for preps for those reviews that go into each one of those. Add in some type of weekly review into that. That is way too many reviews. All you do is have people going all these meetings and nothing's ever getting done then. You just have people in meetings and you're never accomplishing anything. I mean, and think about it. The executive review, that is probably the most likely, the most expensive meeting your organization will or should have every month. How much it costs, when you look at the people in that meeting, how much it costs to have that meeting, that's a lot of valuable time. So it's an understandable concern that it is taking a lot of time and we do not want just more meetings. But the myth three is it actually takes a lot of time. I mean, I get this. We don't need another meeting that could have been an email or is a duplicate of something that's already being done. But guess what? You are already in these meetings. And whether you call it S&OP or not, people are getting together and they are having meetings. It's just not structured, which means most likely you're probably wasting more time. I've actually gone into companies. In the past few years, I've been doing a lot of work with a lot of companies. Gone into companies and assessed their current process, help design an S&OP process or what they're having problems with, and find out, guess what? Meetings already exist. They're calling them something else, but meetings exist. There's elements of S&OP that generally you're creating some type of forward-looking signal. You're creating some type of supply response, some manufacturing. Marketing is doing something. Executives, guess what? Even the executives are getting together monthly and doing something a lot of times. What we have found, though, is that sometimes these are ad hoc meetings. There's no structure, and there's multiple ones of these meetings that occur. The truth is, research shows that with a mature S&OP process, companies actually have less time in meetings. Believe it or not, it looks like you're going to have all these meetings every month. Research has shown a mature S&OP process spends less time in meetings. And the meetings are actually biased towards decision-making and less about just reporting. So they're actually productive. It scares executives to think about 8 meetings a month or something of that sort. The core review meetings plus S&OE. Well, guess what? They're not in all the meetings anyway. They shouldn't be. But when you lay it out and you have the structure, who needs to be in what you're going to focus on, why you're focusing on, what you actually find is the average meetings companies without a structured S&OP process, without a mature S&OP process, have 12 or more of these meetings a month. That the same one with S&OP, they reduce it to actually less than 8. So guess what? You are saving time with a mature S&OP process. Myth number three. Myth number four, S&OP is way too rigid. It's not agile. By the time the decisions are made, a month goes by, things have changed. Reality is always different. You're planning way out into the future. Reality is always different. Hey, guess what? You need structure, but you also need adaptability to change. And guess what? If you're not managing the business will manage you. So you need to really focus on that extended planning horizon and be able to plan better. The keys to agility, we found this out as well. The keys to agility is collaboration and consensus. Guess what S&OP really promotes? Collaboration, multiple functions, consensus, one number attitude. It really is all about consensus. We saw this during COVID. The companies that had the least amount of disruptions had better collaboration and consensus. That is the backbone of sales and operations planning. So guess what? It not only helps nurture collaboration consensus, but when you're looking at that planning, that helps you make more agile as well. The companies that are saying it's not reactive enough, they're dealing with firefighting in real time. That's not planning. That's putting out fires. And guess what? Another fire is going to come up. But if you build a better fire truck, if you figure out how to build, make things more fire resistant, I'm done with my fire analogies at this point, you're going to find out, guess what? You can help manage the fires better. That's what S&OPs really does. Yeah, you're not going to solve the problem that's happening to you tomorrow. That's what good people, good management processes should do. But good planning processes like S&OP, IBP, those help you make more agile because those provide the buffers. Where do you think buffers come from? You're not creating the buffers on the fly because you just missed something. No, you're creating the buffers in a planning horizon, at the extended planning horizon. It creates playbooks. It creates options for you to have. Where do those come from? In the planning horizon. The better you plan, the better you can manage. The better you manage, the better you can execute. Which means better planning makes better agility. Myth number four, you're done. S&OP actually allows you to become more agile. It's not too rigid. It actually creates structure that allows you to plan better. S&OP serves as a cornerstone for informed decision-making and facilitates a culture of not only collaboration and consensus, but agility then as well. This brings us to our final myth number five. There's no way to measure an effective S&OP process. You're doing this, but how do we know if it's successful? I get it. You sell something, you make money. I measured that. I bought something cheaper. I saved money in manufacturing process. I saved us money. I can measure those. That's the reason cost, revenue, they generally get the most attention because people are short-sighted and they can see that. But guess what? You can also measure the impact of forecast improvement and more collaboration. You can measure those things. Reality is we can. We have done it. And we even see it in S&OP processes itself. What makes S&OP even better is that we're not just measuring one thing. We're not just measuring the revenue or the cost. It looks at more of a balanced KPIs for what is the objectives of the organization. It measures cash, cost, revenue, service, process aspects of it. Unlike a single process, this measures the company as itself. So how do you measure S&OP's results? Take key KPIs, that's kind of redundant, take key metrics that you may already have using on time in full, forecast, inventory, even margin, EBIT, track those. Track them now, continue to track them. Now, as we will see improvement, you can make assumptions. Now, yeah, all of it may not be because of S&OP. You have other concurrent different projects going on. But you have to, at some point, make an assumption that we are better and we did contribute to that. You can have arguments all day long. People can try to pick apart it all day long that don't believe in it, can say, well, that was because of this. You can do that all day long. Incrementally, we are seeing directionally these KPIs we are measuring improve, and we can make the assumption that we did contribute to those. That's one way. The second way is you can use that against other benchmark research. IBF has done a lot of benchmark research saying, hey, these, as you gain maturity, here's the type of improvements we typically see. They're averages, yeah. But if you're in line with those averages, you can now make another assumption then as well. And the final thing that I would leave you with is look at your assessment of your current process. Don't rely everything with inside your four walls. Look at outside resources to give that third-party unbiased perspective of, hey, this is where we see, this is how we can correlate things, this is how we see you compared to other organizations. These are still areas you can see of improvement. Don't totally rely everything within your four walls, because you can get these bias and you can get these blinders. So every now and then, look at an assessment from an outside third party unbiased. And with that, I would recommend an IBF, something like that. We are an unbiased third party. We don't have a dog in the fight. I question going to some of the consultants. They do are trying to sell consultancy. They're trying to paint either a picture of what they did or paint a picture of what they want to do. That's the nature of what they, that's how they get paid. We're going to get paid on the assessment is how we get paid. And we get really benefit by fostering the growth of S&OP, demand planning, supply planning, and people in our field is how we benefit, is if our industry grows. So that's really what McCord is. So that's the reason why I'm involved with IBF. That's the reason I always say it's a good third party. I'm not saying it's the only one out there, but do look for a third party view of where you are in your S&OP process, because myth number five is, hey, there's no real way to measurement. Yet there is a way to measure it. You can do it internally, but then also look for an external resource to help you along with that as well. IBF is happy to be that resource for you. You can go to IBF.org. There's a lot of information on there. It's a maturity model for free. It's definitely not in it for the money. It's a free maturity model. You can look at yourself that way as well. Gives you a good starting point. Reach out to me at eric@IBF.org or IBF.org, whatever it is, info@IBF.org. Ask for more information. Happy to give you information out there as well. There's a whole body of knowledge out there, accessible for free for members as well. So check that out as well. So there's a lot of great content. I'm here as a resource for you. I hope these podcasts have been a resource for you. Hopefully we dispelled some myths, and hopefully we continue to be a resource for you going forward as well. Well, that's a wrap. Final myth is there's no new or good comprehensive books on S&OP. That's a myth. There's actually one coming out in June. Be prepared. Check that out as well. If you want to dispel these myths and more and everything you need to know, it is a comprehensive, practical guide for sales and operations planning. I'm really excited about it. Over 2 years in the making. And I can say we're 30 years in the making, because all the content comes from a lot of other thought leaders, a lot of other subject matters in the field. I'm just helping curate that and put it together, and then adding my own information to it as well. Me and a special guest contributor, Amy, she's a contributor as well. So with that, check it out in June. That book is coming up. Check, you got to be excited. I am. Follow me on LinkedIn to find out more, or follow IBF to find out more. So finally, my name is Eric. If you do want information or contact me, I can be found at eric@IBF.org. That's eric@IBF.org. Thank you, Arkiva, driving business transformation by solving what others cannot. Thank you, Arkiva. Thank you, IBF. This is a great platform, wonderful resource for your S&OP journey. And then finally, one final myth I want to dispel. Hand sanitizer doesn't do the job. Don't forget, wash your hands.